Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for standing by and welcome to the AAK Press and Analyst Conference Call. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. There'll be a presentation followed by a question and answer session, at which time, if you wish to ask a question, you'll need to press star one on your telephone. I must advise you this conference is being recorded Wednesday, the 23rd of April, 2014. I would now like to hand over to your speaker today, Arne Frank. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you very much. Hello, everybody. Ladies and gentlemen, very welcome to AAK's interim report conf call for the first quarter 2014. We are sitting here in a nearly sunny Malmö, southern Sweden, and I'm together with our CFO Fredrik Nilsson and our Director Investor Relations Anders Byström. What we are, as always, proposing to you is an agenda, page 2, where we will go through the main outcomes of the quarter, go later into a little bit more specific business area information, briefly touch on our action program, and all this is probably around 20 to 30 minutes, and that means we have after that ample of time for various Q&A, and as always, I take the easy and friendly questions. Fredrik Nilsson takes the more difficult ones, and Anders Byström takes the real difficult ones. Page 3, we are happy to announce to you our best first quarter ever, where we're particularly proud of the EBIT, which is up 19% to 287 million Swedish krona. Here we were helped by 1.5 million Swedish krona in translation effects, so our EBIT is up 18%, 1.8 at fixed currencies. Volumes up 3%, organically down 1%, mainly or completely due to significantly lower pragmatic opportunistic commodity volumes. Sales up 3%. EBIT per kilo up 16%. This was maybe a little bit of a surprise to all of us. Really good EBIT per kilo evolution, mainly driven by a very healthy and nice product mix. EBIT per share up 21% and net debt stable. Those are the main highlights. Now, Fredrik Nilsson will walk you through the details in a much more educated, in-depth way, and then I will be back a little bit later. So I pass the microphone to Mr. Nilsson.
Thank you, Arne. As Arne mentioned, we had a record high first quarterly result, and with a quarterly result which was up 19% and 18% for if you calculate with fixed foreign exchange rates. Operating profit per kilo continued to improve and was up 16%, and that was mainly driven by the improvement we have seen in the chocolate and confectionery business area. If we then look at the business areas, food ingredients reported an improvement of 10%, and if we then continue with the chocolate and confectionery fats, it was up 38% in the first quarter, so the results amounted to 116 million in the quarter. Our smallest business area, technical product and feed, continued to improve and was up 12% in the quarter. If we then turn to page 5 and look at the financial summary, as Arne said, the volume continued up with an organic growth of negative 1% in the quarter, and in total, it was volume growth of 3% in the first quarter. Operating profit, as Arne also said, we had a record high result for the first quarter, and the very nice trend continued during the quarter. Operating profit per kilo was also a record high for the first quarter, so with a good evolution, I will say, for the EBIT per kilo. If we then turn to page 6 and look at the cash flow, we started with a good EBITDA development, which was plus 48 million in the quarter. Paid tax was a little bit lower in 2014 versus 2013, but it's more about the timing than anything else. Changes in working capital was negative 176 million. We have earlier communicated that we will have an outflow from working capital in the first quarter. I will say it's two reasons. One, we communicated was that we will build up some inventory to be able to deliver more chocolate products later during the year, particularly for third and for the fourth quarter. But also, I will say in general, our inventory levels are a little bit too high in the first quarter. Cash flow from investments was negative with 167 million, which was a little bit higher than we saw in Q1 2013, but we now start to see some impact from the Brazil greenfield. If we then turn to page 7 and start to look at the working capital days, calculated on a rolling 12-month basis, it was a stable quarter compared to Q4 2013. But I think we should have in mind that we have improved our working capital days with 16 days over the last 2 years. So when you're looking into 2014, I think we should expect to see a stable development for the full year, and it's more about maintaining the current level than be able to improve it further. If we then turn to page 8 and look at the raw material prices have been rather stable during the first quarter. As you maybe remember, there was an increase late Q4 2013 that will start to impact us in Q2 and Q3, because there is a time lag of 6 to 9 months. So please have that in mind when you look at our cash flow for the coming quarters. If we then turn to page 9 and look at return on capital employed, you will see a stable development of the return on capital employed in the quarter, but you will also see that the rolling 12 months return on capital employed continue to increase, and maybe that looks a little bit strange, but that's how it's calculated, because you calculate also the working capital and the fixed assets base on a rolling 12 months basis. And when the working capital starts to increase a little bit, you will not get the full impact in the rolling 12 months calculation. And by that, I pass the microphone back to Arne.
Thank you, Fredrik. So how is the business going in the various business areas around the globe? We have the slide you start to be familiar with since quite some time, where we try to go into a little bit deeper granularity geographically. We can then see that FI is a relatively stable picture if we look upon it geographically, where Asia is going strongly, where Central Eastern Europe and the former Soviet Union is not doing so nicely, and all the rest is, we show it flat here, but maybe it should be shown slightly up. We believe we are gaining market shares in several of these geographies in the FI business, and as I believe Fredrik mentioned, our infant nutrition business is with our infant blends, our Aquaninos, our advanced lipids business, and so forth. All of that is doing very nicely. What's good here is my personal favorite, the dairy fat alternatives, is coming back. Milk prices, butter prices, milk fat prices are still too low, but they are in many geographies and countries increasing. And that is helping our dairy fat alternative business in a nice way. Besides, the products are very good, no trans, low SAT, lower cost, and in a blind test, we assure you, you would struggle to see the difference, or to taste the difference, more correctly put. Our CCF business, strong. Strong in Northern Europe, strong in Western Europe. flat to slightly up in the US, flat in Central Eastern Europe, up strongly in Asia, up strongly in Latin America. But you see a red here, and that is, of course, the difficult situation in Ukraine that is influencing us. Ukraine is, as some of you might know, a relatively important CCF market for us, and we have a relatively high content of CBE. And as you can imagine, that business is not doing so good now. Some of that volume have moved over to Russian producers, but net-net we see a significant decrease here. Technical products and feed up strong, as Fredrik mentioned. So a mixed bag, and with some ups and some downs, but all in all, we remain prudently optimistic. More details, page 11 by business area. We already commented on the FI plus 10%. And here we also need to see that there is a good development on speciality and semi-speciality, but pragmatic commodity volumes significantly down. EBIT per kilo up due to a good and nice product mix. And that's basically the main things. And on the left-hand side of the slide, we also have, due to the pickup in our DFA business, taken an example of whipped toppings. If we look upon page 12, which we have disclosed since some time now in FI, breaking it up here in the quarterly reports between the semi-speciality and speciality business versus commodity, you see here a minus 7 on commodity, minus 1 for the full year last year, minus 9 in the quarter last year, and then plus 1 on semi-speciality and speciality. More details, page 13, an evolution we are quite proud of, and operating profit up 10%, and here in a four-year perspective, and the EBIT per kilo also up 10%, and a nice evolution in the four-year perspective. And as we have said, with some quarterly variations over time, this is more or less what we believe in for the next few quarters also. Page 14, CCF, up, as Fredrik mentioned, with a dramatic 38%, 38%. Earlier today, I was asked to come with predictions for the coming quarters, what will be the year-to-year percentage evolution, and we, as always, refused to give any such forecasts. But of course, it can nothing can reach the sky completely, and as you will see on next page, the quarter is very strong in a historic perspective, even if it's the first quarter of the year, which is normally not one of the strongest quarters. But we are optimistic for the future. And of course, here, the drivers. First bullet point, what we in AAK call the cocoa butter crisis, which maybe our customers didn't look upon exactly that way. Cocoa butter in an historical perspective was hovering around plus minus 10%, around $4,500 per metric ton, typically, with some variations over time, but typically. And then for a nearly 18 to 24 months period, the price was down to around $2,500 per metric ton. Below what would be a typical sales price for CBE. This period strengthened us. This period unified our organization in a strong effort to work even harder on customer co-development. This period unified our organization around selling CBE not only on price but also on functionality. As many of you know, CBE has some clear advantages in functionality May we speak hardness, may we speak heat stability, may we speak other dimensions of the product. And this difficult period strengthened our organization to sell all the CCF products that the chocolate or confectionery producer would need. And as we always say, cycles, sales and development cycles in this industry are lengthy. So all those efforts are yielding now since a quarter or two. And at the same time, cocoa butter prices have skyrocketed and remained at a high level. So we see, of course, a perfect mix of all those drivers, and that has transferred into a 38% improvement, where the largest part is better CBA margins, but there are also other factors. This translating into an EBIT per kilo up 29% to 151 SEK, and the factors are mentioned here, higher CBA margins, but also better product mix with improved volumes of the more value-add products or the high-end specialty products, and a total volume increase of 7%. Out of organic growth was a modest 1% or so. Page 15, as I indicated, and as you see here, normally Q3 and Q4 are the strongest quarters in the yearly seasonality. Despite that, we have a Q1 here on the table, which is the strongest individual quarter in this four-year period. So that's maybe another reason why we don't want to be too bullish and indicating plus 38% when we sit here 3 months from now. But we are prudently optimistic for the future. And EBIT per kilo, basically same comments as you can study in that graph. I guess many of you have difficult questions. Some of them will go to Fredrik Nilsson. Some of the questions might be even more difficult, and then they will go to Anders Byström. So Anders and Fredrik, prepare yourselves for questions here. 16, page 16 is the price development I just talked about. I propose we move on to technical products and feed, our smallest business area, a nice 12% improvement, but relatively small numbers. So this is not swinging AAK very much in one direction or another. But the teams here are doing a good job, working very professionally and improving in certain areas. And we expect this to look not too bad going forward either. Forward-looking statements more stringently summarized on page 18. FI, we continue to remain optimistic for the future, particularly considering the speciality and the semi-speciality strategy and our strong health profile. And with quarterly variations, we believe we will continue to improve with roughly the 2013 improvement rate. CCF, we also believe in improvements. However, not necessarily with the same pace as for this first quarter this year. And TPF, technical products and feed, we expect this to be stable or to improve slightly. Moving on, not too much detail this quarter on our action program. The successor to AAK Acceleration, we can just say that we are off to a good start, and all our different initiatives within sales, with sales and customer co-development, innovation and execution with service, quality and productivity. And on productivity, we want to be prudent to say we are not planning any to our knowledge, we are not planning any major restructuring sweeps. This is more day-to-day hard work in the daily life to optimize productivity, yields, purchasing, and so forth. But we are off to a good start, and all initiatives are moving on according to plan. Here we particularly want to remind you about our greenfield project in Jundiaí, São Paulo, Brazil, 2 hours, 1 to 2 hours by car from São Paulo, subject to traffic, where we are constructing a specialty and semi-specialty factory. We have disclosed the capex, the size of the capex. We have disclosed the duration of the project, and that means that we should be ramping up the factory during the later part of 2015. Also reminding you, this is to strengthen our ability to supply locally semi-speciality and speciality, maybe more semi-speciality than speciality, as a matter of fact, in bakery, in dairy fat alternatives, and in CCF. This factory is not here to do what we're already doing quite nicely out of Montevideo, Uruguay, for the Brazilian market. And of course, we will use this facility to further strengthen our customer co-development approach with a nice innovation center of more or less the same type and sort and format as you have seen we have in Shanghai, China today. I also earlier today had a question about China because the person was well familiar that in AAK Acceleration in January 2011 we announced our ambition for Brazil, and we also did so for China, and I had to confirm, yes, we have been evaluating China since at least January 2011, hence. And we have been evaluating M&A and Greenfield and JVs of various sort and form, but we cannot disclose anything until we can disclose anything, and anything we would say in the meantime can only be wrongly interpreted. So one day we hope to be back to you with some disclosures on China, but not until we have something to disclose. Page 21, another major event in the quarter. The signing of the acquisition of CSM's bakery fats activity in Belgium and the commercial activities in mainly Belgium, Holland, France, and to some degree Germany. This business was a small 1 billion Swedish krona business with roughly 100,000 metric ton. Recently signed, as you know, and then we need to calculate at least 3 months before closing can occur. And here we have a nice factory in Maxen, Belgium, not so far from Antwerp. We have a wide variety of bakery fat solutions, margarines, and pumpable shortenings, a good and experienced sales force, a good and professional team of application specialists for customer co-development, and an important bakery innovation center, which was not AAK's strongest discipline in this part of the world until now, or until when this deal is closed. And the strategic rationale was, of course, to have one more hub where we can strongly promote and sell our semi-speciality products, which we have talked about many times, can travel, but not endlessly. Can travel, we typically say, subject to where the competition is and where the customer is, 1,000 to 1,600 kilometers. So you can here on the map see that this will be a nice complement to our activities in Karlshamn and in the UK. And hence, it can also permit us to optimize future CapEx spending, because without CSM Merksem, we would be faced with some CapEx in Sweden, mainly for extended capacity. Same thing in the UK, and now we can optimize because CSM Maxim has a relatively material unutilized capacity. There might be some other transportation costs and maybe some other cost synergies, but the main added value from an industrial point of view is the CapEx optimization. Main driver is, of course, cross-selling between the two different companies' customer bases and product catalogs. So we are quite optimistic for this, even if maybe Western Europe is not the main growth market in this industry internationally. We said 30 minutes. We are approaching 30 minutes. So just to round this off before we start the Q&A session, based on our value propositions for no trans, low SAT, and reduced cost, health and reduced cost, and our customer co-development approach, we continue to remain prudently optimistic for the future. This quarter was, we expected a good quarter, but this quarter was maybe slightly better than we had expected. All in all, we remain, our comment about remaining prudently optimistic. We are not more, neither less, more prudently optimistic than a few days ago. And we expect our FI business to develop in a stable and nice way. And we expect continued improvement in our CCF business area. How much is more difficult to predict. So, ladies and gentlemen, that was basically the presentation of our Q1 report. Thank you for listening, and we are now opening up for some Q&A.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. If you'd like to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone and wait for your name to be announced. To cancel this request, please press the hash key. Your first question comes from the line of Bill Dar of Danske Bank. Please go ahead.
Hi, good afternoon. I've got three questions. Beginning with CCF, I was a bit surprised that I think this is the second consecutive quarter that EBIT primarily has been driven by better price mix, obviously CB being the most influential driver. But could you elaborate a bit on sort of how the volume, how you view the volume profile throughout the year, or if 2014 primarily will be driven by price mix rather than volumes?
Okay, Bill, you had three questions. Do you want to put all three questions on the table now, or you want?
We
to
can take
back?
Them one by one, if I may.
Yeah, and then maybe we should introduce the rule that max three questions per person at a time. So this one, I think the answer is, Fredrik said our cash flow is the part in this report that is not so impressive. And we say very clearly that we are building up inventory to meet an organic growth in CCF, and with that, I believe we indirectly answer your question on our ambition. Then if we can deliver on that ambition or not, we don't know yet, but as you know, we have very long supply chains of raw material, so if we want to be part of an increased consumption of CBE, then we need some inventory. So we are shooting for and hoping for, but we are not promising organic growth in CCF.
Okay, good. That actually answered my second question as well. So I'm going to skip to the third one, and that refers to dairy fat alternatives. If you could elaborate on what's sort of the main driver there, is it volumes that are picking up, or are you seeing a more favorable pricing environment? Just give us a more flavor on what is going on now and sort of what how we should think about that in food ingredients for 2014.
Already before I had the privilege to practically start my daily life at AAK, my favorite segment was DFA.
I really fell in love with DFA at first sight. No trans, low SAT, lower cost, and products today so much better than what we might have seen 10 or 20 years ago. But DFA is complex. DFA covers from real commodity products that would go into various butter blends and so forth to high-end semi-speciality where we may talk, and maybe even speciality in a few cases, where we could talk processed or analog cheese for mozzarella type or other types for frozen food or frozen pizza and so forth. Whipped topping, whipped cream could be another area. Not speaking about our ice cream products. Drivers here, health and cost. And butter prices have been relatively low for a few years. They are picking up, at least in some countries, and some people expect them to go down again. Other specialists expect them to continue up. We are a little bit, I wouldn't say cynical on those experts, but it seems those experts are right approximately the same number of times as they are wrong. But if we believe milk fat prices continue up, then this business would have a bright future. It's a relatively limited part of all of AAK. You have the exact numbers from our capital market days in November. But we are hoping for the DFA business for the mid and long term. And a relatively large part of our customer co-development resources go into exactly this business segment.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Bila.
Thank you. Your next question comes from the line of Kasper Blom of Handelsbanken. Please go ahead.
Thank you. First of all, congrats with another set of strong results. I have three questions to take advantage of the opportunity. Starting on your slide number 12, where you so kindly give us the split of volume growth divided into speciality and semi-speciality and commodities. You grow 1% organically in your speciality and semi-speciality segment. Is that really satisfying, or shouldn't you be looking at a higher growth there, at least in a longer-term perspective? My second question relates to the CBE market. If you could reflect a bit on how your competitors has responded to the high cocoa butter price. It seems, as the former analyst said, that you've seen more EBIT per kilo growth and not so much volume growth, but what about your competitors? And then finally, if you could give a few comments to the situation in Ukraine and Russia. Have we seen the worst now in your numbers, or should we fear more there? Thank you.
Thank you, Kasper. Thank you. First bullet point, page 12, 1% organic growth in speciality and semi-speciality is, of course, the net-net between some products and some geographies growing much more, and some going slightly the other way around. But to give you a frank and direct and quick answer, we are shooting for more than plus one, of course. Second question, CBE and competition. Very difficult for us to comment. But when I was new here, some of you were under the impression that we were typically selling CBE at CB times. I've heard 70%, I've heard 80%, I've heard various percentages. I'm certain that any of those percentages I have heard at some point of time was completely correct. But there is no such price formula because in that case, we would be selling CBE at plus $5,000 per metric ton, and that might happen, but it would in that case be a small part of our business. Just as when the cocoa price was very low, a big part of our CBE sales was, as a matter of fact, at a higher price than cocoa butter. We don't see CBE prices swing at all as much
up and down as the cocoa butter price is doing. Fortunately, I would tend to say, even if it would be nice to sell CBE at $5,000 or $6,000 per ton. So that price is much more stable, and that's basically what I believe I can say. And the third question, Casper, with all respect, it's a very difficult situation. Let's all hope it does not get worse, and there is still industrial activity going on. We have lost volumes. People are, of course, consuming much less. Import over that border is maybe not exactly increasing, and. But let's hope, secondarily for our business, primarily, of course, for the people in the region, that it doesn't get worse.
Okay, okay. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. Your next question comes from the line of Richard Koch of Kepler Cheuvreux. Please go ahead.
Hi. The negative organic growth that you reported now, is that in line with your plan? I mean, will more commodity volumes disappear in the future, or what should we expect?
Hello, Richard. Fredrik mentioned also that our inventory, our not so good cash flow, was because we are preparing ourselves for organic growth. But Fredrik also said that inventory levels in certain parts of AAK were at a little bit too high level. Yes, but that same comment could be translated in we had prepared ourselves for selling a little bit more than we have been selling. So we would have been shooting for a little bit more growth in semi-speciality and speciality FI. Would we have been shooting for more, maybe a minus 2, 3, 4 on commodity and not minus 7? Difficult to say. Those commodity volumes, frankly speaking, they are captured in an opportunistic, pragmatic spirit as they come by. But we are working hard. And you see the sales dimensions in the action program. AAK acceleration was also oriented organic growth to an important part. Many good things going on. We believe we are gaining market shares in many parts of the world. So we are working hard to see some. We are in an industry where we normally do not speak double-digit growth. But a few percentages organic growth in volume is definitely our ambition.
Okay, so you're not deliberately walking away from this business. Okay.
It's not the main priority, Richard, but if opportunities come by, we opportunistically catch them.
Yep, sure. Also, on CCF, I mean, how much seasonality... Or I mean, there is a seasonality in that business, but how big is that impact versus the sort of remaining increase from raw material prices? What the 150 level that you're at now on the margin, is that a sustainable level, or can it go even higher in some quarters?
Well, everything we say will be used against us, right? We're working on continuous improvement. We try to resist to be too bullish. We try to resist to sound too bullish. Of course, we are aiming for improvement. Of course, there is seasonality. This is very, very difficult to predict. This is also why we want to be well equipped with inventory in case we see, for example, the CBE volumes to continue to increase, if we see
because the price spread today between cocoa butter and CBE is so high that we expect new customers to pick up CBE, and we expect existing customers to use CBE to a higher degree. This takes time. The timing and quantity of this is very difficult to predict.
Okay.
I know I didn't answer your question very well.
No, you didn't, but try to put it in a different way then. Have you seen the full impact of the raw material pricing?
No, we have not seen the full impact, but we try to guide down so nobody is expecting us to continue with 38% improvement rates. But we expect it to continue to improve.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Thank you, Richard.
Thank you. Your next question comes from the line of Patrick Zetterberg of Nordea. Please go ahead.
Yes, hello, gentlemen. I have two following up the previous discussion about the CCF guidance. You have earlier indicated that we should be looking on 2007 and 2009 on EBIT per kilo on the CCF division in order to get a sense of where you can land in 2014. Is that still the case? And also in connection with that question, I would also know, you say that not necessarily you're expecting to show the same growth figures for the full year 2014 as you saw in the first quarter of 2014, but as I read it, it is still a possibility that you could see this almost 40% growth for the full year. That is a scenario that is still existing. That is my first question.
Okay. Hi, Patrick. Do you want us to start with that question?
Yes, please.
I must say I tried with the other questions and the last one so-so, but that was deliberately so-so. But now with Patrick Zetterberg here on the go, I feel I need to delegate to at least Fredrik Nilsson.
I think Patrick, hello Patrick.
Hello.
I think also you should have in mind when you look at the full year number for 2014 that we have two strong quarters in 2013, the Q3 and Q4, we started to see some impact from the better CBE prices already last year.
But to build on Patrick's historical perspective here, which is a wise approach, we have said that if we want to wash out, so to put it, the CCF division from the CBE crisis, to use AAK language, it's a wise approach to go back to 2010-2011 EBITs per kilo. And to that, you take our improvements, the productivity programs we have run, which is maybe also to a big part FI, of course, and our stronger solutions customer co-development approach, but also that we now sell the whole catalog, which is working partly in the wrong direction as that there includes some real semi-speciality. So, yes, the ambition is to improve. The pace and how much is difficult to say, but it's a wise approach to go back and look upon what was the EBIT per kilo before the cocoa butter crisis.
Okay. I think we have to... Yeah, to end that discussion there. But my second question is regarding your build-up of inventories, especially the shea nuts. If I remember correctly, we are seeing the harvesting season for this shea nuts here in Q1. Should we expect that you will continue to build up shea nuts in the same pace as you have done in the first quarter, or will it be leveling off for the coming quarters?
We will not continue to build up for Q2 with the same pace as you saw in Q1. But you also should have in mind, Patrick, as I said previously, that we saw increased raw material prices late Q4 that could impact negatively our working capital in Q2 or Q3.
So what you're saying that we shouldn't anticipate that large effect from build up of shea nuts going into the to the remaining quarters of 2014?
We will start to build up the SHE again later during the year, of course.
Yeah. Okay.
But
so
the SHE season is over, Patrick, as you indicate. The SHE season is over. But in the high inventory number is also that some other raw material inventory levels were higher than intended, because volume a little bit shorter than intended. So yes, we would be hoping for a better cash flow going forward. On the other hand, we will in Q2 maybe suffer a little bit from the increases in raw materials Fredrik previously mentioned.
That's very good. Thank you very much, gentlemen.
Thanks, Patrick.
Thank you. Your next question comes from the line of James Targett at Berenberg. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, everyone. Congrats on another great quarter. But I wouldn't mind quickly going back to the specialty and semi-specialty volumes, if I may. It's really just trying to get an idea of the dynamics of that 1%. Just because does that include first of all AAK Turkey? And obviously, you said that some geographies are positive, some were negative. I mean, are there some geographies which were significantly negative in the first quarter? And then, obviously, going forward, looking throughout the year, your comps get significantly harder in specialty and semi-specialty. I mean, you were doing high single-digit, double-digit in the second and third quarter. So, just on that comparative basis, if you're doing 1% on a 2% comp, I just wondered, where you expect that increase in growth to be driven by. Thank you.
Hello, James, and thank you very much for your nice comments and your difficult question. That question is big and complex, so I immediately delegate it to Fredrik.
Thank you, Arne. Starting with your first question, James, Turkey is not included in the volume growth. As we stated, it's organic volume growth, so it's not acquired volume. They are excluded. Yes, coming back to different geographically, we are seeing a different development in the world. And as Arne tried to explain on page 10, you will find out that particular Asia has continued to show a very good development during the quarter, and that's driven by the infant nutrition business. So we have seen a strong development, but also there are sub-segments in the food ingredients. As Arne also mentioned, the dairy business has developed very well also during the quarter, but we have also seen progress in our food service business. Yes, you have absolutely right. There are some markets that develop better than others, but it's difficult to predict how it will continue for the rest of the year, because the average maturity in the contract portfolio in food ingredients is, as average, 3 to 6 months.
And in terms of things getting a lot tougher later on in the year in terms of your comparators, I mean, it is a market, you're going from 2% growth last Q1 to 10%, over 10% in the third quarter. So, that's quite a significant uptick.
I think it's difficult to predict, James. Of course, we had a good improvement rate last year in speciality, but we tried, as we have said so many times, that it worked with evolution and with steady improvements.
Okay, and just one to follow up. Could you say what what kind of growth you saw in AAK Turkey in the first quarter?
I think we saw stable and solid development according to our expectations when we acquired the unit.
Okay, thanks, guys.
Thank you, James.
Thank you. Once again, ladies and gentlemen, it's star one to ask a question. To cancel that request, please press the hash key. Your next question comes from Lilona Per Jorgensen of IT Asset Management. Please go ahead.
Thank you. Hello, gentlemen, and congratulations for the fine results. It's very solid. Good to see. A few follow-up questions for the for this discussion that we have been listening to. If we go back to the food ingredients organic volume growth on page 12, is it fair to assume that you will see the volume growth in 2014 like a bit like 2013, so that the organic growth in speciality and semi-speciality will actually pick up in the rest of the year? That's my first question. My second question is actually listening to this about the CCF division, the analyst trying to, you know, to get a feeling about what's going on. Could you give us a feeling of what's your visibility in this division? You are getting closer to your customers in this customer co-development. That's been a very good investment for you and for the shareholders, no doubt. But has the visibility also been a bit better than you're used to in the division? That's my second question. And my last question is actually in relation to these Brazilian startup and also the Belgian acquisition. Is it fair to assume that the Belgian acquisition is a form of a turnaround situation, that where you can actually go in and fairly quickly get value out of the of this acquisition? And if I remember right, then this contribution from the Brazilian and from Belgium will actually be put on top of your 2015-16 management ambition of doubling the EBITs in the whole AAK. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Jørgensen. FI page 12, yes, we are hoping for a good evolution. May not necessarily be exactly 7%, but we are hoping for a good organic growth in speciality and semi-speciality for the full year. That can come with quarterly variations.
Yep.
I don't think we should speak 5 or 6 or 7% or mention percentages, but we're hoping for more than 1%. And then we all know in the food space, every single percentage has a big importance. CCF visibility, yes, as you say, we are improving. We are getting closer to our customers, we believe. We hence have a better visibility. On the other hand, cocoa butter price up from down from $4,500 per metric ton to $2,500 per metric ton, up to plus $7,000 per ton, or you can quickly translate that to krona per kilo, makes it much less predictable exactly how opportunistic our customers will be. So same situation, better visibility with these dynamic changes. And you heard AAK since several years, Per, with all the theory around cocoa becoming more scarce over time. I mean, the same raw material experts that with a 50% hit rate predict milk fat pricing, they probably with the same 50% success rate predict future cocoa prices. And there are many theories around these big swings. But underlying, there is a macro trend that cocoa consumption is increasing and cocoa plantations are aging. And you have a very long lead time before you start the cocoa plantation and before you get positive cash flow in a mature plantation. So
be inclined to actually that the clients, your clients, could be more inclined to, let's say, make some longer term contracts with you or do anything, you know, to level out their raw material.
Okay. It is one of the drivers to switch to CBE, to be less depending on something that is shrinking in its availability. Another driver to switch to CBE is that quality is much more predictable. Cocoa, you are totally in the agricultural world where quality of the product can swing from shipment to shipment.
CBE is hopefully more stable in quality, may it come from AAK or someone else, and then it's more easy, less difficult to produce consistently exactly the same branded product across the globe. Yes, Brazil in 2016, when it starts to ramp up and generate the positive EBIT, should be in addition to the management ambition, as well as the burn rate, because it will not be profitable day one, should be deducted from the management ambition in all theory. And Maxim, finally, Per, in our industry, there is no quick fixes. We have good people here, and it's a good activity. We expect it will start to add value to AAK in a stable way, but it's not that, I wouldn't say turnaround. We don't expect major cost reductions in the organization and so forth. So it's more stable improvement and synergistic activities commercially and on the CapEx side with the rest of AAK in the surrounding geographies.
Yes. Okay. Thank you, Lars. Thank you.
Thank you, Pat.
Thank you. There appear to be no further questions at this time. Please continue.
So, ladies and gentlemen, thank you very much for your support. Thank you very much for listening. Thank you very much for all your questions. And we look forward to seeing many of you in the relatively near future. Thank you very much and wishing you a continued good day. Thank you from AAK.
Ladies and gentlemen, that concludes our conference for the day. Thank you for participating. You may all disconnect.